as you give hope. You
restore. Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Now in 1 Peter, another passage you're familiar with, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, it says, "But you are not like those who do not believe and receive, for you are a chosen people." And we're chosen in Christ, right? So just like the priesthood, they were chosen and they were set apart by the blood. But now, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we are set apart. All of us who are in Christ are set apart as those who are chosen to represent God. You understand that, right? I mean, back in the day, Aaron and his sons, they were to represent God as the priesthood. Today, we, the body of Christ, are to represent God everywhere we go and everywhere we live. So we are to be, as chosen people, royal priests, a holy nation. We are God's very own possession, it says in 1 Peter. As a result of the blood being applied, and you recognize that much more importantly is the shed blood of Jesus Christ than the blood of the ram. And so on the priesthood, they had the blood of the ram. On us, we actually have the purchase price applied to our life. And so we should recognize this morning, before we walk out of here, that our ears are to be covered with the blood of Jesus. Our hands are to be covered with the blood of Jesus. Our feet are to be covered with the blood of Jesus. I'm to recognize that my life is not my own. This house is not mine. I belong to God. I have been purchased, I have been bought, not with the blood of sheep and lambs and goats, but with the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And God has set us apart. God sets you apart. As a result of that, you can show others the goodness of God. For He called me out of darkness into His wonderful or glorious light. Once you had no identity as a people, but now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, but now you have received God's mercy. Life is not our own. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. John the Baptist is talking about the baptism he was having. He said, "I baptize with water." You remember that, right? "I baptize with water," he says, "those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not worthy even to be his slave and carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." With the Holy Spirit and with fire. If you go to Hebrews and you go to the chapter on heroes, and you look at all the different heroes, you look at their life, you can look at Noah, you can look at Abraham, you can look at Sarah, you can look at some we know their names, some we don't know their names, and some are there. Many of these, they're from the First Covenant. And you look at them, and repeatedly it says through the Hebrew chapter on heroes, it says, "By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. By faith they quenched the fire. By faith the swords. By faith the ladies had their children brought back to life again. By faith Abraham believed God. By faith Noah believed God." All of those there. By faith, by faith, by faith. And so when we read that chapter says something to us, that we surrender our lives, we dedicate our lives by faith. We believe that as we give ourselves to God, that God gives himself to us and that we are his representatives. And then we think about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and with fire. Yes, the water was to be a public testimony that you've surrendered your life to Christ. But what about the Holy Spirit and the fire? And as I was thinking about the First Covenant and what took place there, I was pulled to look for a moment in Isaiah chapter 6. And let's run there just for a moment. Isaiah chapter 6. In Isaiah chapter 6, we are able to listen in to a time of very intimate and personal prayer that Isaiah is having. It's recorded for us. "In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, Now, some would say, how did he see the Lord and get hung up there? Was it a vision? Was he dreaming? Did he see really with his eyes? Well, he really saw. It was spiritual, but it was real to him. And I believe that whatever form God revealed this, this is something that Isaiah never lost, never forgot. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. He's seeing the Lord. Hovering around him were mighty seraphim, each with six wings. Two wings they covered their face, two they covered their feet. With the remaining two they flew, and in a great chorus they sang, oh, we're back to the holy part, aren't we? Here they are in the presence of God singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Now recognize that even when the earth was wicked, the glory of the Lord was still here because God is the owner of the earth. And so from the heavens, the declaration is the whole earth is filled with his glory. When you were born again, something happened to your spiritual eyes. And instead of only seeing destruction and evil and sin and death, you started to see life. You started to see miracles. You started to have hope. You started to have joy in your life. You started to see things from a whole different perspective. And that's God's perspective. It's holy. Holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. The glorious singing shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire sanctuary was filled with smoke. Then Isaiah said, my destruction is sealed, for I am a sinful man and a member of a sinful race. What is Isaiah saying? He's saying, I have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and I am in God's presence, and I am in trouble. I'm in trouble. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphim, I want you to see if you see anything about fire doing anything in Isaiah's life. Then one of the seraphim flew over to the altar, and he picked up what? A burning coal with a pair of tongs. Now get this picture. The angel's picking it up with a pair of tongs, but what is he going to do with this burning coal? He touched my lips with it and said, see, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven. I want you to understand there's a picture in Isaiah. It's wonderful to read about by faith, by faith, by faith. But I want you to understand that only God can deal with sins. And God is the one that can remove our sins. And God is the one that cleanses us from sin. And God is the one that delivers us from sin. And so to Isaiah, even in the first covenant, he's looking at this and he's realizing, my mouth doesn't always work right. My hands aren't always doing what's right. My feet aren't always taking me where is right. I am in trouble before God. And God says, you've come to me. I've come to you. I'm going to do something about that. That's what happened to me when I was 15 years old. God came and knocked on my door. And God started showing me my life that night. I had a vision over my life. Those few years, short years, dangerous years. I had a lot of opportunities to get in trouble in those first 15 years. But that night when I bowed my knee and said, God, if you can do anything for me, I'm going to give you a shot at my life. That night, God did something. And you who are in Christ this morning, you recognize that when you cried out to the Lord, God did something in your life. God did something. You couldn't do it. No one else could do it. Church could not do it. No one praying for you could do it, but God did something. He took some of that cleansing fire from the altar in heaven and came and began purging your life with his purity and his holiness. Gil and I had a wonderful conversation 2 days ago about the impossibility of wickedness thriving or existing in the presence of a holy God. It just can't be. The power of God is either going to cleanse or it's going to cast out. You cannot be in the presence of God and be unholy and wicked and just coexist with God in that place, because the holiness of God will not coexist with unholiness. And so when the scripture gives us this instruction to submit yourselves to God, it is a call for us to recognize that we are to fully surrender. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven. This was a whole new beginning in Isaiah's life. At this point, at this moment, as he is being purified by the fire of God, his entire life changes. Say, well, how do you know that? Because it says that right here in the Word of God. It says that he heard a voice. Isaiah hears this voice saying to him, who should I send as a messenger to my people and who will go for us? And right here at this moment, as the question is being asked, the cleansing power of God is at work in his life. And God is saying, who can I send to represent me now that you have been made holy? And Isaiah says, here I am, send me. And God says, yes, go. Yes, go. Here am I, send me. Next Sunday, I'm going to share some thoughts from my quiet time with God over the last couple weeks. And a part of those thoughts that I wrote down, and it didn't take me any time at all to make a decision, because the decision was made a long time ago. But the Lord said something to me that was a little shocking that morning in prayer. And I believe in part this ties in with a note that Toddie gave me, where Toddie had shared just a thought that was on her heart. It really was a call to make sure that I was in the presence of God, hearing what God said and not being impacted by what I was seeing going on the outside. First, before you make plans, make sure you're hearing from God. And so this morning, as I was in the Father's presence, I heard clearly, and I was writing down, I wrote this down. The Father said this to me, Jonathan, you could quit. You could quit if you chose to. But my call is just as real today to you and on your life as it was when I called you when you were 15 years old. I was writing this down and I was thinking about this and thinking about what God was saying. And God was saying to me, Jonathan, with all that you know and all that you've learned and all the places you walk and all the responsibilities you have and all of that stuff that makes up the world that you are currently living in, you still have free will to make a choice just like you did when you were 15. You still have that free will. You still have that choice. And even though you've experienced my signs, my wonders, my miracles, even though you've seen me do tremendous things in your life, you still have the free will. You could step back and say, like a Moses, I'm not qualified. I'm not ready to do this. I'm not able to do this. And my response was, Father, send me, send me, send me, send me. I'm not sure what all God's calling is on your life. I'm not sure what all that entails. I'm not sure all that is there, but I know one thing that is for sure. When Jesus was on the cross, he did not say these words until he had finished what the Father sent him to do. When he said, it is finished, he wasn't quitting before he finished his job. He didn't abandon the cross simply because there was a crucifixion that was coming. He did not abandon that. He even had grace and mercy for a Judas right up to the last minute. And right up to the last minute, there's an opportunity. Jesus is saying, one of you are going to betray me. And in that setting, Judas didn't have to follow through. Judas could have went back early to the high priest and he could have said, I cannot do this. This is not right. But Judas didn't. The mercy was there. The grace was there. And when Jesus is hanging on the cross and in his physical body, he is close to death. He didn't have to be thinking about his mom, but he was. And he says to John, your mother, your son. He's thinking about what's going to happen when he goes to the Father. He's remembering he has a family, and this family, he wants them to be cared for. But much greater than all of that is when I think about the fact he looks at those that spit on him and whipped him and nailed with their boards or their spears those thorns into his head till the blood covered his face, until the psalmist said they couldn't recognize him as even being human. Jesus says, Father, forgive them. You see, he's releasing forgiveness that was part of the finishing of the full task the Father had given them. And then he will say, after he said, it is finished, the scripture says, every jot and every tittle. For us, it's like every I had a dot on it and every T had a cross. Not until it was all completed, all the Word of God was completely finished, did Jesus say, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And he took his last breath and he was in the presence of God. The Apostle Paul, as he nears the last chapter of his life, which actually had a lot of ministry left in it, because he was Caesarea Philippi, northern Israel. He's up at one of the sources of the Jordan River. And that was a place where in the crevices of the mountain and where that water flows out, there were all these false gods that were there. And Jesus asked the question, who do men say that I am? You remember that, right, in Matthew? Who do men say that I am? And then Jesus said something very personal. He said, who do you say that I am? And I believe this morning, a important part of this message is that I am to look at and I'm to call you to look at and call myself to remember that I've been purchased with a price and that I need to see that blood on my ear and on my hand and on my big toe. And I need to realize that from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, I have been purchased with the blood of Christ. I am a sold out candidate in the kingdom of God, and that this is God's call. This is God's call. Life is not our own. We must live a holy life. We must submit ourselves to the Lordship of Christ. We are chosen and set apart by God. And under the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, Hebrews 10, verse 11, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day. What he did, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. Remember, that was the old life. That's what they did. Priests did that. They knew the sins of the blood of the goats and cattle could not take away sins. But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down at the place of honor at God's right hand. There he waits till his enemies are humbled and made a footstool. And this is verse 14. For by that one offering, he forever, Jesus forever, made perfect those who are being made holy. And the Holy Spirit also testifies that this is so. And this is the word of God. By that one offering, Jesus completed his work. Praise God. Praise God. The Lord is saying to me, Jonathan, just as you did at 15, you bowed your knee at that time in your life. I want you to remember that. I want you to do that every day. I want you every day to remember that you are surrendering yourself fully to me, to my purpose, to my work, to my plans, and to what I've called you to do. And by the help of God, by the grace and strength of God, I commit myself to do that. There's a song that, one of the hymns by Francis Havergal. Honey, you want to come up? This hymn is simply entitled, Take My Life and Let It Be. It's a song that's been a prayer that I've prayed on more than one occasion. It simply says this. Francis wrote these words, I'm sure, out of deep conviction in her own heart. Take my life and let it be consecrated. There's that word that's really sanctified or set apart unto God. Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in endless praise. Verse 2, take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my silver. Kind of hits on all the points here. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as you choose. Take my will and make it thine. It shall no longer be mine. Take my heart. It is thine own. Listen, it shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet. It's treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee. This morning I call you to an ordination service. To present yourself as a living sacrifice to our living God as we prepare for communion. That this morning we allow the Holy Spirit to just revisit and renew in us that wonderful awareness that our life is not our own, but we've been purchased with the price of the blood of Jesus Christ. And as we come to the Lord's table, that really is what this is all about. A few weeks ago, as I shared, do this in remembrance of me, that was very much in line with this same truth. We'll just be quiet for a moment as we're preparing our hearts for communion. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to be reading from Psalm 22 for the communion time this morning. I want to welcome those who join us by live stream. I want to welcome you to break bread with us today as well. I know some of you are homebound. You're not able to get out for services. And I would encourage you to break bread with us as we share. In Psalm chapter 22, this is a Psalm of David, prophetic psalm. Actually, it carries within these verses some of the very words that Jesus would say in the last chapter of his life. In fact, 22 verse 1, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" One of the sayings that is spoken from the cross. "Why do you remain so distant? Why do you ignore my cries for help? Every day I cry to you, I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night you hear my voice, but I find no relief." Verse 3 starts by saying, "Yet you are holy. Yet you are holy." Verse 8, "Is this the one who relies on the Lord? Then let the Lord save him." You can hear the crowd saying that. "Is this the one that's trusting in God? Then let God save him." You can hear the thief from the other cross making that accusation. "If you are the Christ, then save yourself and save us as well." Right here in the Psalms, prophesied hundreds of years before. "Yet you brought me safely from my mother's womb and led me to trust you when I was a nursing infant. I was thrust upon you at my birth. You have been my God from the moment I was born." Verse 12, "My enemies surround me like a herd of bulls. Fierce bulls of Bashan have hemmed me in. Like roaring lions attacking their prey, they come at me with open mouths." Then verse 14 says, "My life is poured out like water." And long before crucifixion was ever practiced or even understood, the psalmist is writing prophetically what is going to happen to Messiah. Because this only happens that way. "My life is poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax melting within me. My strength has dried up like sun-baked clay." And it goes on, "My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You've laid me in the dust and left me for dead." Look at verse 17. "I can count every bone in my body. My enemies stare at me and gloat." Verse 18. "They divide my clothing among themselves and they throw dice for my garments." Here it was all fulfilled at the season of crucifixion. "O Lord, do not stay away. You are my strength. Come quickly to my aid." Because he became sin for us, we have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And this is awesome. It's awesome. Praise God. Well, today we are not going to have a kill the calf ceremony. Because the blood is on the inside, right? The blood is on the inside. We've been purchased. We've been bought. Remember who you are in Christ. Don't take it lightly. Don't be irreverent with the huge gift of life that God has given us. Understand that many thousands have not yet been awakened. They have not heard. They have not listened. They have not followed. But God has awakened you, awakened me. And it's an awesome gift. Not the blood of a bull or ram, but the blood of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, Yeshua, our Lord and Savior. Father, we lift up the cup. You said, "This is my blood that's given for you." And we lift up the bread. You said, "This is my body." Father, your word instructs us that we are to allow our hearts to be examined as we come to the Lord's table, that we are to recognize the body of Christ. We're to recognize the holiness of God. We are to surrender our lives to you this morning. And Father, I pray this morning that as you taught your disciples to pray, forgive us our trespasses. Father, go through this room. Go to those that are watching, those who will listen, those who may be a part of a radio program at some time. Go to each heart. Go to each mind. For Father, we know that you're a holy God. And you have come to cleanse us and make us holy and set us free. So we present ourselves, Lord, to you, to your blood. You're the one that made Isaiah clean. You're the one that makes us clean. And in you we are clean. Who the Son has set free, say it with me, church, is free indeed. Because I have been set free, I am free indeed. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Father, that we do not live by bread alone, that's natural bread, but we've received the words of life, which is the living bread. And we receive this covenant meal as citizens of God's house. Aliens to this earth, but citizens of God's house, we receive in faith and thanksgiving. Let's receive. I would encourage, I would invite, I would compel those who may listen today, whether you're in this room or you are a part of our live stream, if you're listening and you have not accepted the gift of eternal life, I would invite you to recognize that you're a sinner without God. You need a Savior. You need to be saved. Jesus came to die for you. He came to die for us. And if you have never prayed that prayer, God, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I need a Savior. Come into my life. Cleanse me. I turn to you. I repent of my sin. I turn from my wicked ways and I come to you. If you've never prayed that prayer, then I pray that you pray it now. Surrender your life to God. Accept that calling. The priesthood. Chosen people. Purchased of God. To be set apart for the glory of God. Father, we lift the cup of the covenant, the cup that purchased, the blood of Jesus has purchased our redemption. We give thanks and praise in Jesus' name we receive. Let's receive together.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
What are the key elements to being a Christian?
Well, you may not be dead physically, but according to the Word of God, until Jesus Christ comes into your life, you are dead spiritually.
Dr. David Jeremiah gives us insight into basics of the Christian faith. Next time on Turning Point.
Listen to Turning Point at 12:30 p.m. Monday through Friday on the Good News Station WCNO.
Be tranquil, waters are raging sea, valley of shadow, mountain breeze. In time of trouble, Lord, prayer of peace, I'm resting. When I'm all alone, I'm in a crowded room, in a way.